Program here on WGTD. We're going to be previewing the next play of the Lakeside Players of Kenosha. And it is a play called The 39 Steps. And The 39 Steps has been around a long time, first as a novel, then as a classic Alfred Hitchcock film, and now in this comic parody of the film. And we have two gentlemen joining us in the studios today, who are part of this production. First of all, Steve Mattner, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Correct.
Is the director of this production, and Sean Collier is the leading man, if you will, in the cast of, I believe, four actors who are part of the, I'm seeing a five, actually. So anyway, we're going to be hearing all about, first of all, this intriguing story and the way in which this story has been, in a sense, turned on its head in this parody version, which has been around for a few years. First of all, we welcome both of you to the morning show. Glad you found us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So, first of all, Steve Mattner, we're speaking with you on the morning show for the first time today. Maybe tell us a little bit about your own background as in theater and in directing, and what things you've done with the Lakeside Players ahead of this production of The 39 Steps.
I've been around Lakeside Players since 1990, you know, started building sets, worked my way up as extra on the set hands, and went to acting in shows and took some acting classes and became more involved and was asked to direct, and here I am today.
Wow. So is this the first thing you've directed for Lakeside Players?
No, I've directed many shows.
Tell us just a few of them.
Well, I'll Be Back Before Midnight was my first one, and it was a thriller. And then I moved on to comedies, and I just stick with comedies. So,
so you're a funny man, then.
I try to be.
He knows where his bread is buttered.
Comedy does sell, doesn't it, in the world of community theater. Sean Collier, let's get a little background from you as well in terms of your background in theater in general, and in particular, then, your connection with the Lakeside Players.
Okay, well, I'll make the story short. I'm a recent transplant to the Kenosha area from Southern California. Came here about a year and a half ago. Did quite a bit of theater in school back there, but then took a break, got back into it after 10 years, took another 10-year break. When I moved here, went to see my first show at the Rose Theater, and it was The Addams Family nearly 2 years ago, and thought it was a really good time, and thought, well, you know, I'm here now. I really do miss getting on the stage. I should, you know, maybe think about trying something. So they had a flyer in the theater for, you know, if you want to audition, here's the email address. So I got on the mailing list, auditioned for a show last year called And Then There Were None. And it was, you know, a good way of getting my feet wet. And that went up at the Roadie exactly a year ago.
Hmm.
So it was a good way to get back and transition back into the one true passion of my life. And decided to audition for this show. I was really pressed into auditioning for it by my co-star. I'll give her credit, Erin Tedor. She thought I'd be great for it, and read the play before auditioning and thought, oh man, there is so much potential here. This show could be absolutely fantastic. And I was really excited to audition for it, and I guess it went well.
Evidently, because here you are in the leading role of Richard, is it Haney? Is that how we pronounce
Hanay.
It? Haney.
Yeah.
Richard Haney.
Yeah.
Before we get into the plot, Steve Mattner, tell us how specifically you were given the assignment to direct this particular production. I mean, did you seek out this particular opportunity, or is it just kind of luck of the draw that this is the play you're directing?
Lakeside Players has their 50th year this year, and I want to be involved, and I looked at the slate. There was a few musicals on there. I'm not qualified there. And then I looked at the other shows and said, oh, I saw The 39 Steps at Bradford, enjoyed it a lot. I saw it at Drury Lane and enjoyed it again. And here I am.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. So it is time to kind of untangle the interesting story. First of all, well, there's two interesting stories, it seems to me. One of them is the plot of the 39 steps, but also kind of what I alluded to very briefly in the introduction, namely that the 39 steps itself is kind of complicated in terms of first being a novel, then being a film, then being this parody of the film. So all these different versions. So maybe one of you can sort out that first thing and the other can sort out the actual story of the 39 steps. So whoever wants
I'll
to
let,
do it.
I'll let you sort out the origin because I hope you're more qualified than I am.
The origin of... Well, it was adapted from the movies, and I watched there was a movie before the Alfred Hitchcock version, and I watched that and said, wow, I can see a lot of that movie in the plot of the script of for the play. And you can, I mean, there's 35 scenes to this show, which is a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, and especially with just five actors, it's a lot of ground to cover. I found the humor between the lines, and I just had to get down to it and start thinking it out. And I've seen it twice, so I've seen what they've done with it, and I've had actors read the script and go, well, that's not very funny, and you really do need to just... look between the lines for the humor.
So, so it's not pie in the face kind
no,
of humor.
No,
not at all. So Sean Collier, let's have you sort out for us kind of the, at least the basic outlines of this complicated plot.
Well, the basic story, you know, I kind of want to preface. It's funny that, you know, I was rolling up to the theater for rehearsal the other day, and on the marquee it says Alfred Hitchcock's 39 Steps, which, okay, fine. But I just hope people... I hope people aren't coming expecting to see some kind of serious ultra thriller noir spy extravaganza, because this is an absolute ball. It is a fun time. It is a over the top comedy. It is a true farce in the sense. It is wild. I mean, you have three actors essentially playing how many characters, Steve? Like 80 something characters?
Well, that's what they say. I think
it's an exaggeration.
30,
like
yeah,
30 characters. But you're not meant to be fooled into thinking you're in on the joke as an audience member. I mean, sometimes it's as subtle as a switch of a hat and a slight change of an accent to show they're now somebody entirely different. But the plot centers on a British patriot who has just come back home to London after being away in Canada for about, well, we don't really know how long, but he's been back home for about 3 months and he's bored. Mm. His life is now, it's just at a stage where it's very, there's nothing much exciting for him to do. He's in his late 30s. It's a boring life for him. He's fed up with his existence. And he's hoping for something exciting to happen, which, you know, you be careful what you wish for. You might get it.
Yeah.
Case of wrong place, wrong time puts him on the path of being falsely accused of murder and having to clear his name and prevent a conspiracy from the Nazis to take over England, you know, obviously ahead of the actual timeline. But every time he steps up to the challenge, he's knocked back down. It's like a complete roller coaster ride of a life for him in this, you know, this two-hour play. Every time he thinks he's on top of his game, he's flat on his face. He's not really the hero for our time. He's the hero we need, not the hero we deserve.
Right. So he's somebody who's kind of placed in sort of dire peril, but not the standard heroic type who knows what to do.
Absolutely not. He is no Indiana Jones.
Right, right.
He is no James Bond.
So this is who you are playing. So unlike some of your castmates who have to take on multiple roles, you are Mr. Hannay,
oh, yes.
Start to finish.
Oh, I am. And I am so lucky. I watch them do their quick changes, and I just think, oh, boy, no, thank you.
Well, yeah.
Did have to do it for the last show I was in. And quick changes, they can be rough. And I don't envy any of my fellow cast members because they've gotten it down so well. I mean, some of them have quick changes that are, you know, seconds they have to completely change their costume.
And we'll talk with director Steve Mattner in a moment about that, because I'm sure as director you had a whole lot to do with sorting out all of those logistics. Sean, tell us a little bit more about your character, his personality, the way he sort of carries himself. I mean, and what is maybe fun about playing him?
Well, I think he considers himself a gentleman, but at times he can be, sort of short-sighted and selfish. He does try to do the right thing throughout the show, and sometimes it's the right thing in any given moment, but maybe not the right thing for the total overarching story. It's an incredibly fun character to play. I was telling Steve this week that this is honestly the most fun I've had working on a show in as long as at least 20 years. I can't wait to come to rehearsal every night and put on these shoes of this crazy character, working on accents, posturing and posing, and it's a role in which I really get to use my entire instrument. Like, it's a very, very physical role, and I'm trying to use everything from my eyebrows to my toes, if you know what I mean.
So, yeah. When I was going to ask you if, because it sounds like kind of also a high energy, almost Marx Brothers kind of comedy.
Yes.
And so I wondered to what extent this involves physical comedy on your part.
To be honest, every day I go home and have to wring out my clothes. It's very physical, a lot of hard work, but I wouldn't change it for the world. Yeah.
Very good. For those of you just joining us, we're speaking today with two gentlemen who are part of the Lakeside Players production of the comedy, The 39 Steps. The 39 Steps was originally a novel published, I think, back in 1915, and then transformed into a couple of different films, most famously by Alfred Hitchcock in 1935. But what is being presented at the Rody Center for the Arts this coming weekend is actually a comic parody of the film, which was penned back in 1995, and then, I understand, rewritten about 10 years later. Are you doing the 1995 version or the rewritten version of the 39 Steps?
Oh, good question, because I did not ask that. The board chose that, and I just took the script for what it was. I didn't look that up.
No problem. So Sean was referring to the fact that I assume everybody else in the cast, aside from Sean, is playing multiple characters.
Yes.
Tell us more about that, kind of the specifics of that, and also the complicated challenge of that for them and for you as the director.
Well, the challenge for the actors was slowing everything down. They start out mixed up like everybody else because it's just so quick, and it's sometimes like Sean said, a change of a hat and an accent, and then they go right back on, which is in itself a job. But they have caught on to the rhythm, and we brought in a dialect coach from Parkside, and we are working with the actors to streamline it and get it so that they can get it down, and they have done that, and I think we're about ready to go here. So
so each of these actors then is responsible for how many different characters, and does the script very much specify that this particular actor is responsible for these particular parts, or are you as director free to kind of assign those as you see fit?
Well, there was in the script it calls for two clowns, and it says clown one, clown two in front of each of the lines. We added an extra clown, Holly DeYoung, because logistics of the stage for us and pulling it off, and we wanted everybody to have time. And she came in and took over a few of the roles, and then she's very much involved in the stage crew. And We've done it that way.
I think you should mention though, just not to interrupt, but they're called clowns. Like, that's their title, the character title. I don't know why. Wouldn't want anybody showing up thinking anybody looks like Bozo. Okay, there's no actual clowns. I'm afraid of clowns. I might not have auditioned if they were clowns. That's just what the characters are called.
Exactly. And we divvied it up equally that way. And They all caught on, and they are doing a great job.
One of our actors plays three different love interests, all to Hene. So and it's literally just a change of accent, costume, and wig, but she's doing a fantastic job. Sometimes I will call her by the wrong name in rehearsals because it's very hard to keep three different women straight who all look very much alike.
Right. Well, that brings up the interesting point of, for the audience, how is it that they keep track of who's who? And when a given actor takes the stage, is the script written in such a way that it's always clear who's playing who?
To an extent, yes. But then the part of the fun is no. I'd say obviously for myself, no costume change, maybe a different jacket. So you're always going to know who I am. Great.
Right.
And then for Erin, she's three very different costumes, very different wigs, very different accents. It's very easy to tell. Now, for the other three, the clowns, it's sometimes very, very – it's meant to be very subtle, tongue-in-cheek, and funny. You're literally supposed to see somebody turn their back, put on a new hat, turn their face to the audience, and they're a new character. So the audience is completely in on the joke. You're not meant to think – oh, that's a completely different person that appeared out of nowhere. Mm. That's part of the fun.
Right.
Yeah.
So the impersonation is not meant to be convincing in the conventional sense of the word. Yeah. So how would you characterize the comedy of this play? I mean, what in it is funny, or in what way is it funny?
The situations, it's a very funny situational comedy. There's quite a bit of physicality, so there is, you know, I'd say there's a little slapstick going on. I'd say there's some...
Everything.
Yeah, everything. I mean, there's some highbrow jokes, and there's everything from, you know, if you're into Steve Martin or if you're into Jackass, I think there's something in there for you.
Interesting. So, Steve Mattner, what have been some of the biggest challenges for you as the director of this production? And we're speaking live Tuesday morning, so you have your last couple of rehearsals still in front of you. But, I mean, looking back and also looking ahead, what have been kind of the stiffest challenges of taking on this particular play?
Well, I have to say that I do have a co-director, my wife, Clara Tappa, and we've kind of split up the duties. I try to bring in the funny, and she takes care of the serious stuff, and then we
logistics.
Gel.
Logistics, too.
Logistics, yes. I just like finding the funny in the situation, and she figures out where they need to be, and now she's on the job of getting the lighting and the sound crew on cue, and then our daughter came home from school, and she has streamlined a couple of scenes from us because she has a degree in theater, and she is doing a great job. She streamlined us, so we had to give her a title in the program too.
Oh, good, she deserves it.
What do you mean streamlined?
Well, we had some blocking that moved from left to right and right to left, and she came in and watched it, and she's like, well, why don't we just do it here instead of going dark and moving every, you know, the furniture, and it worked out well for us. She did a couple of other things, and the actors caught on real quick, and I think it helped them, and it moves the story along quicker.
Great. So creating a little more flow between scenes and
yes.
So on. We've already mentioned the fact that this is really directly a parody of the 1935 Alfred Hitchcock film that maybe some of our listeners have seen. I know I have not. I'm curious, Steve Mattner, did you make a point of having your cast watch either the Hitchcock version or the other film version that you mentioned, or did you think that was not a good idea for whatever reason?
We didn't ask them to, but I think most of them have watched a version of the movie, and I don't think they needed to watch that because we're doing a comedy, but the movies, like I said, I watched the version before Alfred Hitchcock, and I could see where somebody adapting this play could pull the stuff from and find the funny, and hopefully we did the same.
Yeah. Sean Collier, have you watched the Alfred Hitchcock film? And if so, did that prove helpful to you in any way?
Long answer, no. Short answer, no. Honestly, I didn't think it would help my performance. I'll be honest. I try to avoid watching when I'm doing a show or whatever, I try to avoid watching representations of my character until it's over. Because I don't want to subconsciously steal or mimic or copy. I really try to make something my own, and you know, sometimes that's for better or for worse, but I really want to make it my own. And I didn't really think that the Hitchcock version of, I mean, that Hene was ultra serious. You know, he's a desperate man in a very desperate situation who's never trying to make anyone laugh. So I didn't really.
Quite the opposite, actually. Yeah. Wow. Well, it certainly sounds intriguing. And again, this is a comedy parody of the Alfred Hitchcock classic film treatment of The 39 Steps. And it's going to be opening this weekend at the Rohde Center for the Arts in downtown Kenosha, and running for how many weekends?
2 weekends.
For 2 weekends. And if people want tickets, can you give them advice on what to do?
I'm sure they could get them at the door, or they could order them at rohdecenter.org.
What's the website is rohdecenter.org. That's R-H-O-D-E center.org.
Great.
Get tickets there.
And I know the phone number once upon a time was 657-PLAY. I don't remember if that's still the phone number or not, but I've announced that so many times over the years that I believe that might be the number. But at any rate,
I remember that number, but I don't think I've used it in many years.
Right. Well, maybe that's not it. But anyway, then Rohde Center for the Arts, you can certainly go to the website and get all of the information that you need. And also tickets will be available on sale at the door to come and enjoy The 39 Steps with Sean Collier in the lead and in the director's chair, Steve Mattner. Gentlemen, I appreciate both of you joining me today on The Morning Show during what I know is a really, really busy week. And we hope that you and your cast and crew all have a wonderful and successful run of performances of The 39 Steps. In fact, we should really say cast and crew, because I know with complicated comedies, the crew is just as essential as the cast in terms of making it all go.
Absolutely. They're all lifesavers. Every single person there is a member of a team. We are all a core group. It's, you know, Steve and I live and die by what everybody else there does. So it's a huge team effort.
Yes. Well, best wishes to you and all of the team for The 39 Steps at the Lakeside Players, and best wishes with all of these upcoming performances.
All right.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.